TV Campfire Podcast.
I was like, yep, okay, so you win for the week.
We're here.
I hate to sound like a broken
record. Oh, no! We're fans.
It's one of the best things on television.
Oh! All right, we got you a hold of the
level. No, you didn't.
We talk TV.
That was the best scene ever. Like, that blew me away.
It was absolutely amazing. I just couldn't believe it.
Welcome to the show.
This is podcast number 610, and I'm Libby, your host. And this week, we have returning guests.
Hi, this is Tom, and I chair the Department of Visual and Media Arts at Palm Beach Atlantic University in muggy West Palm Beach.
Hi, this is Allison, and I write reviews for Six Degrees of Geek.
My name is Malik. I'm artistic director of Griot Theater.
All right, Tom, hit us with the news. What do you got?
Oh, tons, because we've been off the air for a while. Okay, in alphabetical order, Amazon Prime has ordered The Boys prequel series, Vought Rising, with Jensen Ackles and Aya Cash. Spider-Noir has cast Abraham Popula in an undisclosed role. They've ordered a series adaptation of Carly Fortune's novel, Every Summer After, and their young Sherlock series has added Donald Finn from The Wheel of Time as Moriarty. Dan Stevens has been cast as the lead of The Terror Season 3 at AMC, and The Walking Dead Daryl Dixon has been picked up for Season 3, and they've got a new setting, Spain. Apple TV Plus has picked up Loot for Season 3, and Morning Show Season 4 has cast William Jackson Harper and Boyd Holbrook. At CBS, Georgie and Mandy's First Marriage has added Dougie Baldwin, I think is his name, as Mandy's brother Connor. That's a recast from Young Sheldon. And Jesse Perez will play Ruben, a longtime employee at Jim's Tire Store. Ghost Season 4 has cast Mary Holland as the Puritan ghost Patience and Dean Norris, yay, as Sam's absentee dad. Disney Plus has announced a Doctor Who spinoff, The War Between Land and Sea, starring Gugu Mbatha-Ra and Russell Tovey, and they're bringing back the Sea Devils. I knew when they had those great sets and all that ensemble cast for those unit episodes toward the end of New Who Season 1.
You did call it. I'm agreeing. You called it. And I was like, no, they're not doing this.
They spent some bucks on that. Disney Plus has also cast Daniel Deemer as Percy's half-brother, the Cyclops Tyson, for season 2, and they canceled Renegade Now after one season. Ken Jeong is going to appear in season 2 of Fox's legal anthology Accused in an episode directed by Michael Chiklis, and Krapopoulos has been picked up for season 4. FX has revealed the name of its alien series from Noah Hawley is Alien: Earth. And it's about freaking time. We've been waiting since 1970.
You want the face huggers here? I don't want any face huggers here.
Did you see what they did for the movie?
Romulus? Yeah.
But did you see what they did for the actual premiere last week?
Not for the premiere, no.
They hired actors being attacked by face huggers and chest burst. It's like, hell to the no. Face huggers are my least favorite. They creep me out. Okay. House of the Dragon will end with season 4.
Wait, what season are we on? Oh, okay.
Three starts filming in 25, and Siri is spying on me. And The Knight of Seven Kingdoms has added 7 actors to the cast. We haven't heard of any of them, so I'm not going to list their names. Hulu has assembled an all-star cast, except for Halle Berry, who is not going to be in Ryan Murphy's legal drama with Kim Kardashian, All's Fair. But they've added Sarah Paulson, Niecy Nash-Betts, Fiona Taylor, and Naomi Watts, as well as Glenn Close. I wonder if Glenn Close is in the... Well, I wonder if who's took the Halle Berry role. That's interesting. Glenn Powell will join the Family Guy Halloween special. Whatevs. And Hulu... I do not like Family Guy. Episode 2, they made a Rosa Parks comparison with the dog. And I'm like, oh, hell no. You don't do that. And they canceled Life and Beth after 2 seasons. The big news, no outlet yet, but Keanu Reeves and Chad Stahelski are shopping around a John Wick sequel series that will spring forth from John Wick 4. Max canceled
He died in 4, right?
Say what?
I was like, he died in 4, right?
Theoretically, but they were talking about 5, but I guess this is instead of 5. Who knows? At NBC, Chicago Fire season 13 adds Dermot Mulroney as the new chief. They promoted Jake Lockett to series regular. Chicago PD season 12 has added New Amsterdam's Toya Taylor as a series regular. And Maura Tierney is the new police lieutenant, and she's in for oh, I can't think of her name from The Practice. Cameron Manheim quit the show. Netflix has announced that Anna Torv and Michael Dorman are heading a huge ensemble cast of their Outback epic series Territory. They've greenlit the new horror series. Let's see, Something Very Bad Is Going to Happen from Haley Z. Boston, and the Duffer Brothers from Stranger Things are among the EPs. Bridgerton season 4 will focus on Benedict. Rebecca Ferguson has joined Peaky Blinders movie in a secret role. And Netflix made a deal with AMC to stream Interview with the Vampire and Walking Dead series, including Daryl Dixon. Paramount Plus, Starfleet Academy has added Tig Notaro and Robert Picardo as series regulars, and Oded Fehr and Mary Wiseman will re recur in season one. Plus, Gina Yeshare from Bob Hart's Abishola will recur as an instructor. Joni Turner Smith will join the spy drama The Agency. And this is kind of cool. Michelle Pfeiffer is going to lead the Madison, the Yellowstone spinoff previously developed as 2024. And they're trying to sign Kurt Russell and Patrick J. Adams to join that cast too. And for people who they canceled Halo, which,
No, it surprises no one.
No, it surprises no one. Peacock has a pretty good guest cast for season two: Giancarlo Esposito, Katie Holmes, Kumail Nanjiani, and Gabby Hoffman.
For what
And the
show on
battle star
Peacock? What show
said
on
what?
Peacock? You said a
Poker Face.
show.
Poker Face.
Oh, Poker Face. Thank you.
So we know they're going to be the killers. That's how that show works. The Battlestar Galactica reboot that nobody wanted from Sam Ismail is dead. Hallelujah. And Showtime stunned people. Michael C. Hall is going not only going to voice over Dexter in Original Sin prequel series, aka Young Dexter, he's going to return for Dexter Resurrection. And finally, from my side of the news, Reginald the Vampire has been canceled at Syfy. That's
Nobody's
For all
surprised
two
by
people who saw
that
Reginald the Va Vampire,
Yeah, Red, if you saw Reginald the Vampire, you would understand why it's canceled. It was really bad. And one thing I'm gonna add to the news is some of the news you said right now all came out of San Diego Comic-Con, which was why we had didn't have a podcast last 2 weeks ago. Because me and Tom were both down in San Diego. I was in the room for the Dexter news, so that was actually pretty cool. And I was in the room for the Marvel news, which is also pretty cool. So we don't usually cover movie news, but I have to say, being in the room when Robert Downey Jr. took off that mask was pretty awesome. That was the highlight of
Were
Comic-Con.
you pressed for that event?
I was pressed to get in the room, and then I
Okay.
just stayed in the room. I got a press
Oh.
pass for. I got a press pass for Superman and Lois, which was at
Go
11.
you.
That was at 11 a.m. And I got a press pass for that. And then I just didn't leave.
Did you get the Superman and Lois poster?
I did. So
Want to
I was
trade?
actually annoyed because I was there for the whole day and I got all the tickets for Hall H and I went to collect them and they were all posters. I was like, you've got to be kidding me. That's
They
so cheap.
they were cheap this year.
So cheap. If I had known they were all posters, I wouldn't have gone and got them. But anyway, let's move on because I know you got a heart out and let's get rolling. So the first thing we're going to talk about is the, since we've been gone forever, it feels like, we're going to talk about Star Wars Acolyte finale, which no one cares about anymore at this point. But I still
Is it
feel like
really
we need to
Star
talk
Wars the
about it.
Acolyte or just the Acolyte? They play fast and loose with. Do they
It's
have Star
Star
Wars there?
Wars the Acolyte.
Okay, well,
You have Star
I
Wars in front of you.
care.
Didn't
I
help it any.
care. Malik cares.
So,
Yes.
since you care so much, I'll let you lead off the discussion. Go ahead.
Go for it,
Why do
Malik.
you care so much about the finale of Star Wars Acolyte?
I think Acolyte's finale finally did what I was hoping this show was going to do the whole season. It brought together the kinds of things you hope for when you watch a Star Wars show. I'm actually going to jump right into just the fight with Soul, which was by far the best he showed up in the whole
He like, yeah, if he could fight like this the whole time, why was he holding back? Like, okay.
Yeah, he kind of made it seem like he was worthy and worth it of being a Jedi Master. I was just so enamored and excited by the fight scene there. I think, on the prior episodes, we talked about our difficulty of kind of believing which one. I'm trying to mix up the sisters now. Which sister has a path to the dark side? Is that Osha?
Both.
Both of them technically.
Well, now, yeah. But
Yeah. By the time we get to the
the one
finale,
who
it's like
started out the one who started out dark was May.
May was dark and then Osha was light and then they kind of flipped.
Flipped. Yeah.
Okay, that's true. That's true. We had difficulties with that path to the dark side. I actually kind of dug the resolution of when mixing it up now, when Osha discovered the truth of Sol's involvement, well, not his involvement, him killing her mother, and the action that she took as a result of that, I was all there for it. It one again, anything that you can do that kind of harkens back to the original, this original film, I just think is kind of cool. So it's been a while since we've seen someone force choke another person. So I'm there for it all day if someone's gonna force choke somebody, because it gives us just that echo of Darth Vader. There were still problems with the episode for sure. I think the ending, they still didn't, they didn't know how to get out of the episode, and there wasn't really any power that the Sith had over them at the end. They just kind of gave him power over them by saying, I'll be your acolyte if you let my sister go. That wasn't really believable. But I actually enjoyed most of the episode up until then. So while it wasn't perfect for me, I had a blast in the finale, which is different from my experience from a lot of the rest of the season.
I will say, I will echo some of what you're saying. I did like Osha's reveal when she finds out that he killed her mom and she like loses it and kills him. And I did like all that. But my issue is the writers couldn't decide that Sol and the Jedi actually did something wrong. They tried to ride this weird line where they were like, well, the Jedi were kind of right and they really weren't really wrong. And they were just, I was like, no, have them do something wrong. Like, have the Jedi legit go on, do a wrong action 100%. And then it explains why this guy kills himself. It explains all of this stuff. But instead, they tried to ride this weird line where they were like, oh, they were really young and they made this rash decision, but the Jedi Council was totally not on board. And like they tried to do this weird thing where they didn't make the Jedi fully wrong. They made them kind of wrong and just they were just young and impressionable and did like and one of them just wanted to go home. And I was just like, no. Like no, like it didn't work. So my, I mean, Tom, are you agreeing or
I'm going to
disagreeing?
be contrarian. Here's my problem with the Acolyte. They went exactly where everybody thought they were going to go from like episode two. I mean, the surprise that the good sister goes to the dark side was not
Not a
surprising at all.
surprise. Yeah.
Not a surprise at all. Now, if they really wanted to surprise me, have Master Sol go to the dark side because that dude had some serious darkness inside of him.
He
But
did, yes.
that finale just felt like they were going. They were just like punching tickets or, marking off plot points in a structure grid. I was kind of bored because nothing surprising happened at all. And the big unanswered question is, I had to look up her name, the green Jedi Master, Vernestra Rowe, who's from
Well,
the
yeah,
books.
we still don't know if she's evil. I'm not
Well,
sure.
I don't think she's evil. However, comma, we know that she brandishes a lightsaber slash light whip. And if you look at the mark on the stranger's back, it sure is whip
All
shaped.
whips. Yep.
I wanted to know
Well,
about that.
we did see her lie, didn't we?
Yeah, she lied
Oh,
about it.
and we
Yeah.
saw her
But we
lie.
don't know if she's Sith. Like they were giving us clues that she might be
Might be Sith.
undercover Sith, but then they were like, well, maybe she is, maybe she's not. You don't know. So
But I
they
just
didn't
thought
answer
this
that.
whole And this is for I'm blanking on the creator, Leslie Headland. I loved her first Russian Doll season one. I watched one episode of season two and bailed. I'm wondering if she was a one-trick pony, because this was not a good show.
It
I'm
was not,
sorry.
I'd say the main issues with this show was 100% the writing. So my thing
But
is,
she created the show and
I know, but
supervised the
my
writing
thing is,
staff.
if we go into season two, you need better writers. Like
I don't know if they're going to get a season two.
that's true.
That's
That's
the
true. Like,
problem, because they violated one of the prime principles that most shows nowadays are smart enough to do. You've got to front load your first season, or you ain't getting the second one. And the fact that this already had so much going against it because of the toxic fan backlash, but then it was an underwhelming show. Does it have potential? Absolutely. But you're not getting out of season one if you don't stick the landing. And I thought the landing was just kind of,
they did not stick the landing.
they did
I
not stick the
agree.
landing.
No,
Because
it
the
was
whole,
very meh.
yeah, because the whole deal with the sisters, like, I'll go with him, and if you wipe my brain, and I'm totally cool with you wiping my brain. Like,
Oh, I'm sorry. Was that out loud?
that didn't even make any sense. Why would the sisters, now that they've reconciled, they've now are on the same side, why would they not go off together? That doesn't make any sense.
Because the
So
script
they
says
were
so.
trying to, yeah, so the end, they were clearly trying to reset so that they could have story for a season two, but it didn't make sense for where this season was and where the characters were. So I think they didn't know how to get out of it, and they didn't know how to get out of it in a way that left runway for another season. Up until then, I was thrilled to pieces with the finale.
I just thought that the whole thing was kind of a mess. I really did. And not just the finale, the whole thing was just structurally so poorly put together. And I kept going through the entire series and with the finale too, saying, is this going to reach a point? Is there going to be a point to any of this? Is that because so far I don't care about any of these characters. I don't care what they're doing. I don't see what this leads to. I mean, ultimately we know what happens later on. I mean, this is we know the end game for all of this, but why should these particular characters be important to that? And they never answered that question. When we get to the finale and we're staring at the two of them looking out over the ocean, I'm thinking, and so why are they particularly important? I mean, who are they related to somebody? I still don't know. Are do their actions directly impact something that
I
happens
think what
later?
you're supposed
And
to, the guy in the cave that you see for like 5 seconds,
oh,
that's,
that's Darth Plagueis, the people
you're
who read the
supposed to
books
know that,
and
but not everybody knows who that is, and
no,
it's
I didn't know
silly.
who that was. I was sitting there and going, what is that? Is that like some weird guy who lives on that planet? Is, you know, I had no idea. I had to look it up. Well, actually, I didn't deliberately look it up. I found it in a review, and it was like, okay, all right, great,
Yeah, but
and
they don't tell you anything and they just kind of leave it there hanging. So I
yeah,
get
like you're supposed to know. It's one
right.
of those things where, well, great for everybody who's been through, you know, who's poured through every single ounce of Star Wars lore there is out there. But for the casual viewer, that's it, all it is this question mark of why did you suddenly show me this weird creature?
I
And,
don't disagree.
you know,
But
it's just,
let's move
I don't
on.
think
Let's
it
move
worked.
on. Like, I totally get what you're saying, but I don't want to spend our whole hour on this. I'd say
That's not worth that.
yeah, it's not worth it. Exactly. We
To
have
quote
more.
Kevin Kline from I Think a Fish Called Wanda, disappointed.
All right, let's move on. Next up, we're gonna talk Supacell, which I know we're super late to this party, but it's a show that I wanted to review a while, but we kept having too many things in the lineup to talk about it. It's only 6 episodes. It's on Netflix, and it is a show about characters from South, black characters from South London who all of a sudden find out they have superpowers. And what I really thought was interesting is those powers come from the sickle cell trait that is predominantly present in the black community. And so I thought that that made it really interesting. And I will advise, I'm pretty good at British accents, but I 100% watched this with subtitles on.
Subtitles.
Yeah,
Oh,
you
yes.
need subtitles. I'm not even
Absolutely.
gonna pretend that I could watch this because I was watching it with subtitles and then I was reviewing it right before the podcast and I didn't have the subtitles on and I was like, wait, what? And I was like, oh crap, and then I didn't have the subtitles on. So I'm not you 100% have to watch this with subtitles. But I thought that the setup for it was really interesting, where you have a character who accidentally goes into the future, finds out that there's this big battle coming and that his girlfriend is going to die in a couple of months. And he has like one shot at trying to save her life if he can join forces with the other people that he saw in the future. But he doesn't know who they are, where they are, how to figure it out. And I thought it's set up a good story because then we spend time with the other characters and we see how all their powers get turned on. The only thing, because I was when I was rewatching this as a review to review for this, I realized one of my biggest frustrations in the beginning is that a lot of the problems that he had talking to his fiance is that he didn't talk to his fiance. Like, I mean, I don't know how you broach the subject of, by the way, you're totally gonna die on July 9th. Like, I feel like that's not a good way to do it. But what he did was also not a good way to do it. Because keeping all those secrets and lying to her and doing all of this just made everything way more complicated than it needed to be. And that to me felt like a soap opera writing thing. That's the main negative that I would say about this show is that they fell into kind of a soap opera trope where half of the drama is caused by characters not communicating. So if they had communicated, that would have alleviated half of the drama. But I thought that the other character stories really, really worked well and introducing what their conflicts were and introducing them learning about their powers. Then you have your government shadow entity like watching them and you don't know, you know, people that are being experimented on is pretty much what you would expect if people had superpowers. So but I like the story all overall, and I like the characters overall, and I like their powers. So I'll let you guys talk first some more. What you think?
I binged this all like 2 Saturdays ago because it's only six episodes. So it was a quick binge. It frustrated me. I think it would have been better at four, maybe five episodes, but there's so much not going on those first couple of episodes. There's too much table setting and not enough actual action. And I was having heroes flashbacks with a little bit of, oh, the thing from Straczynski from the Wachowskis.
Oh, Sensei.
Sensei, I was having flashbacks of that. I thought the whole thing with the title Supercell, I was thinking, oh, because we seem to start in a prison, so I was thinking the cell stood for
They
prison.
actually meant
And
cell in your body.
but then when they're talking about sickle cell, and people don't talk about sickle cell much, I just wish I don't know what the situation with Afro-Britain culture is like and whatnot. It seemed really tropey in terms of the gang stuff and. I really don't like the lead gang guy because he just annoyed me and just chewing scenery. But
He didn't do a lot of scene short, but the lead that we I
oh,
like.
the lead guy from Doctor Who, Tosin
Yeah, I
Cole,
thought he
I
was
thought he was
great.
great.
Yeah, I
But
thought he
I
was great.
agree. I just if they get a season two, it's like, dude, Redman, hire a writing staff because
He was
you
writing his
have a
own
great
episode.
idea, but you're not a good enough writer to you're. Your story is not bad. Your plotting and execution of that story needs some serious work.
Yeah, he because he wrote a couple of the
He wrote
episodes.
all of them.
Oh, he wrote all of them?
I think he wrote all of them. And there were two
Well,
directors.
it actually I think it is going to get a season two because it did really
I hope
well.
so.
It did really well on Netflix for the first month or so of streaming, so I think so. Malik, go ahead. Since you're the one who requested the show to talk about.
I loved almost everything about Supercell. If you take the construct of, hey, we're going to have another superhero show, right? There are certain things that are going to be in every superhero show that you do, right? Certain powers that there's only so much super strength and visibility, only certain powers that you can do, and certain ways that they're going to have to find an antagonist and interact with them. So those are kind of things that you expect to find everywhere. But what I loved about this show is the things that you don't expect to find elsewhere. And it's some of what's already been mentioned. The idea that sickle cell is the basis for, how this comes about. I know we're only talking about episodes 1 through 3. So maybe I'll save another part of my comment for when we get to the rest of the episodes, that when they talk a little more about how directly it's related to sickle cell. But I thought that was just a very cool take on things. I also absolutely love the relationships in this show. As a matter of fact, I only started watching the show because I saw a teaser of that opening scene between Michael and his girlfriend Dion, where he's acting like he's trying to pick her up, and in fact they're together, and he gives her this car. Everything about the relationship, even though we do end up having conflict with them with communication, I think that they so lovingly and genuinely build up the relationship before those challenges happen that I'm able and willing to give them some leeway on working through their conflicts.
I will say, Malik, I will say on your point, I agree that they did the setup to the point where, as crazy as he was acting later, because they established their relationship so well, I believe she would still stand by him longer, as long as she did. So yeah, I agree with you.
Also the character of Andre, who has a super strength, his character line with the relationship he's trying to have with his son and supporting his son and making sure he doesn't go down the right path, the wrong path. I just really love that dynamic and that storyline being told. I would kind of echo Tom's thing about the gang culture aspect for the Taser character. And Andrew, I don't know if I want to say most, but many British shows that have black characters have them as drug dealers. Almost as bad as how it's been in US cinema. And there's some really excellent shows that have black Brits as drug dealers, but it's definitely very common. So we do have that thread here. Fortunately, it's only, I guess technically it's two of the five characters, because Taser is actually just a drug dealer gang member, and then Rod, the super speed guy, is also selling weed. So you actually have two of the five who are somewhat involved in that culture. I love that we see the other characters who are not, a character who's a nurse, a character who drives, delivering packages, a character who is working office jobs. So it's valuable that we see people in different settings. But yeah, the drug dealer kind of trope does feel a
Tropy.
bit, yeah. Yeah, but I was just very excited about the show, and again, it's a superhero show is going to be a superhero show. But what you do, and the last thing I guess I was just saying is about the language. So you talked about having to watch things with subtitles on it. We talk about writers who have facility with language and those who do not, and I think even though Ratman might have some challenges with structure, his facility with language, I think, is incredible and impeccable. It sounds, not only does it sound authentic, but it sounds like interesting people speaking authentically. So that's part of how I fell in love with a lot of the characters is through the language and through the dialogue, which I appreciated.
Allison, you're it. You're up.
I kind of, my feelings are more like Tom's. I think there was a lot of pacing problems with it. It was very slow in the beginning, and it was also very, very tropey. Which I and I think some of that was intentional because they're trying to go by, okay, well, here's all these superhero tropes, but it's done with the black community, and so I think some of that was deliberate, but I still felt like we were going, okay, well, this is this trope and that trope, and we're not finding anything new being said in here. We're just echoing tropes, but doing it, within this particular community. And the prevalence of the drugs and the gangs also, it just made me feel like, why do we always have to set it within this type of setting? Why can't there has to be something else within this community? Other than that, we did see a little of that with the nurse and whatnot, but it just, why does that, you wouldn't see that with white actors. Oh yeah, there always has to be a druggie. There always has to be gangs. So why does it have to be a part of this? So yeah, I don't know. There were overall, I think it was interesting. I'd like to see what they do with the second season of this, but I think that there was a lot that needed to be fixed in terms of getting it off the ground because it was very slow going. I think it was, as Tom put it, too much table setting before anything actually really happened. And then, as it went on, and as you pointed out, Livia, there were just questionable things that the characters are doing that just make you think, why are you making all these dumb mistakes just to move the plot along? There has to be a better way other than just doing things that are deliberately dumb in order to get from point A to point B.
It was, I don't know if it was getting point A to point B. It was more, let's create drama. That was really, and
Well, yeah, you don't have
that
a
was
plot
only
structure
really,
unless people do stupid things, and that always gets me.
I'm all I'm saying is that was really only one of the storylines. I just felt like
Yeah, but it's the main storyline,
it
let's face
was,
it.
but
It
yeah.
happens because he's trying to save his girlfriend,
Right.
and then he does everything that actually puts her in danger.
Well, we're not getting to the end. We're only doing the first three.
No, but even from the beginning, like you said, he doesn't share with her critical
To
information.
be fair, I'm not sure how he would have done that. Like, oh, by
Yeah,
the way,
that's a dilemma.
that is a dilemma. Like,
That is not an easy conversation, but
right.
still.
Yeah, and I think he could have built up to it, but especially once stuff got more and more complicated. And then he got to the point where he was just out and out lying to her, which I was just like, dude, what are you doing? But let's move on. Let's move on, and we'll circle back to this in the next podcast and wrap this all up, and we can talk about our conclusions because I don't want to give anything away in case you haven't, finished watching. I think it ends well. I will say that. So give it a shot, and so then you'll be.
I'm not saying.
All right, let's move
Well,
on.
we'll be talking about the next one.
We'll be talking about the next one. All right. And next up, we're gonna talk about House of the Dragon season two. And I just happened to be wearing a Game of Thrones t-shirt. I did not do this on purpose. And
And with the family credo on it.
I know, and I'm also not participating in this conversation because I didn't watch season two of House of Dragon because I got mad at season one. And I'm kind of glad that I didn't watch season two based on all the hubbub I heard about the finale. People were like, rah, 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 rah. And I was like, see, I avoided all that drama. I avoided it all. So you guys tell me, what did you think about season two? And you guys have like 10 minutes. So
Yeah.
hit me up. What did you think of season two overall? Did it do everything you wanted it to do?
Not by a long shot, but I think overall, season two is a huge improvement over season one. First of all, that sense of claustrophobia you had of just being stuck in the Red Keep and nothing else happening and not being aware of a sense of a big picture. And this is a big picture type story because it's a civil war that takes place across all of Westeros. So I think in season two, they gave a much better sense of that going on. The opening it out and making you feel like you actually understand the stakes. I think the characters were made more likable. In season one, there was nobody I liked. I came away with it thinking, I don't care if all those people die.
That's
They
why
are the
I quit
worst.
watching.
I mean, that's the thing. And I think they lost a lot of people for that reason. And I'm not even I think I've just been watching Game of Thrones and everything else so long that I figured, I'll tune in and see if they do something with it. But I really didn't have high expectations. And by the time I was actually, just even into the second episode, I was like, I am Team Black. I am totally Team Black. I've just picked my side and all of that, but because I've become invested in the characters. And that's a credit to the actors and the writers to bring something more to the characters so they're fleshed out as human beings and you actually see something more positive in about them that makes you actually either root for them or root against them. And they did a great job with that. I just it I think the story moved along a lot faster. I think and certainly it looks gorgeous. The dragons are amazing in this. And they brought in new characters too, which at the beginning I was sort of like, well, why are they there? But they do tie it up and it works. I think the ending left something to be desired, not because it was like really horrible, like the ending of Game of Thrones. It was nothing like that. But more because it was like you feel like you're building up to something. It felt like a penultimate episode rather than a season finale because nothing happens. Where this is concerned, you get this feeling that everything is table setting. You've put all the chess pieces into place, and now something big is about to happen, and we end. And we go to the ending credits. And it's not even a sense of like, oh, wow, cliffhanger, leaving you just at the edge of your seat. It's just about to begin and then nothing. And I think some of it had to do with the strike, the actors' strike and the writers' strike. But still, it was not a great finale. It left you thinking, wow, I'm missing where this should have gone. And that was the main problem with it. But up until that point, I think that this season was a massive improvement and brought me back. I will be watching season three, definitely.
Malik, I want to hear your thoughts, but all I'm going to say is I'll wait till it finishes since it's only going 4 seasons, and then I'll see what people think then. I'm not jumping in the middle of this, but go ahead.
Well, I'll just add, you see what people think, and you allow others to kind of determine what experience you have. But I will say, at a very high level, I agree with much of what Allison said. I'll just try to say some things that are perhaps slightly different. It was absolutely better than season one, for a lot of reasons. One is you just have more characters who have developed and who have had more experiences. You also just have more interesting things happening, like stuff other than the finale, which is a really weird thing. You have these momentous things happen throughout the season, and then you have a finale where nothing happens. But the two biggest things that happen are at the very beginning. You're getting revenge and cutting a child's head off. That's a pretty significant happening. At the top of this season, and the way that they got into that, the way that they used the relationships they had, to use rat catchers to get into the Red Keep, the way that it came down to the mother of the child, which is named, I've forgotten her name, but
Helena.
Helena, that she essentially had to choose between her children,
That
because the
was horrible.
assassin is like, I'm killing one of your kids, tell me which one is the one I'm after. And she ends up having to choose between her own children. It was incredible. It's an incredible choice. It also goes back to just lore and mythology of, the whole Solomon thing about choosing between, trying to save your kid or having your kid cut in half. So, I mean, that was an incredible event that happened early in the season, which, and the ramifications kept spilling forward into subsequent episodes, which I thought was incredible. Damon's basically rebelliousness against Rhaenyra, he doesn't believe that she's better than him. He doesn't believe that she should be the leader, and he's taking all of these actions. She's his wife and his queen, but he's essentially trying to have a third option in terms of who's going to lead the Seven Kingdoms. Now, there's parts of his journey that actually end up getting boring because he's sitting in one place for too long. But the idea of him kind of rebelling against Rhaenyra is kind of an interesting element that I don't think they deal with in the beginning of it is nice, the middle is kind of boring, and the end of it is very nice when he eventually ends up coming home and redeclaring his loyalty to her, which I think that happens very nicely.
It's nice, but it's very abrupt, I w have to say. They should have
Yeah,
built up better to it.
it's kind of the deus ex machina, right? He has a vision That essentially is what tells him that you need to be loyal. So you're right, it is abrupt. It does show us that he isn't just selfish, that he actually thinks about the future of the realm, and it kind of tells us that he really thought he was the best person for the job, and when he realizes that he's not, he's willing and able to bend the knee. But yeah, it does happen a bit abruptly, particularly given how long we saw him plotting to essentially overthrow her.
Yeah, I think it's to Matt Smith's credit, actually, that that works, because he really sells that moment and that scene and that transition. And I think a lesser actor would not have been able to do that.
Agreed, agreed. And then we have to talk about the dragons fighting because,
Oh,
my
wow.
goodness, they've gotten better. And also, in original Game of Thrones, you never had a dragon fighting a dragon other than like the dead dragon that came, I guess. But to have an option of not just two dragons fighting, but three dragons involved in a fight, and the stakes of those dragon fights were through the roof. Both because of the how rare the dragons are, but also who's riding the dragons. So I just thought that that was incredible, when we had the dragons fighting one another. All of that then makes the finale a bit of a disappointment, right? You had these incredible actions that occurred during the season, and then in the finale, literally everybody is like, ready, set.
And it doesn't go.
Is it just ready, set? So that was a bit disappointing, but I will definitely be back for the season three as well.
Right. But I want to clarify my thing is I did this on Lost as well, where I waited. I think I got 3 seasons in the Lost. I was like, I don't think I don't want this show to go off the rails and care about it. So I waited till the show finished. And then people had varying opinions about it. And then I just was like, you know what? I just watched it all at once. And then I don't have to wait for years between seasons and then be more disappointed. And so when I watched Lost, I watched 4 seasons in like 2 or 3 months, and it was great. And
There are some shows that work better that way, definitely.
exactly. So
Was the final season as disappointing as it was for us who watched it as it aired?
I thought it was fine because I watched it all at once. I was like, oh, it's pretty cool. So I didn't have all that buildup that everybody else had, and I enjoyed it, and it was great. So I feel like that's what I'm gonna do for House of Dragon. I'm gonna wait. If it's only 4 seasons, I'll wait till all 4 seasons are done, and I'll just watch it.
To one of Allison's earlier points, we all know how this ends,
I do know
right?
how this ends. Yes, I do. I know which team is going to win. Yes. So that's the other problem I have with this show, is that I do know that, and so it's kind of annoying. But I am looking forward to Knights of the Seven Kingdom, which is the story of good Lord, what's his name? The
One of
Tall.
the Aegons.
It's Duncan Egg. Duncan the Tall, Sir Duncan the Tall and Egg, which is Aegon, who
Aegon.
when he's like 8 or 9 and he's a squire to Sir
How
Duncan.
many Aegons are there? Good grief.
They named a
A lot.
lot
There's
of
like
their
seven or
kids.
eight of them.
Yeah, there's a lot of Aegons.
Wow.
And
Not
so
confusing at all.
this one we actually know as an adult, I believe. He's like I can't remember which one he is, but I think we know him as an old man. So, and Sir Duncan is Brienne of Tarth's grandfather. So that is why she is so tall.
So is he the Aegon that became the Grand Maester?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay.
We know him. Wait, yeah, we know him as an old man. So in this show, we see him as like 8 or 9 years old, and he goes on adventures with Sir Duncan, and Sir Duncan has kids all over the Seven Kingdoms because Hodor is also his son. So, yeah. Anyway, I'm excited about that show. So I'm gonna watch that because it's gonna be episodic and it's different adventures and you get to travel all around Westeros. So I'm
Oh,
more.
last thing I want to mention. I know we're going to, but just in terms of things happening in season two of House of the Dragon, the whole thing with the twins, right? You have twins on a show. How can you make use of the twins? And they use the twins in an assassination attempt. That sounded like a stupid idea, but almost worked. I just thought that was an interesting piece in the show as well.
That's actually a huge part in the book is the twins and what happens to them. And I thought that they handled it very well, actually. Because I was when I read about it, I thought, well, how is that supposed to be something I care about? And they did make me care about it. So, yeah.
All right, well, we're going to move on. Next up, we're going to talk evil, and
Whoa.
we'll
Have to
talk
do the
about
laugh. Have to do the laugh, yes.
we're going to talk about episodes 10 and 11. Episode 10 is the one where you after a loved one dies, they take all the information that they put on social media and phone calls and stuff that you can submit, and they basically create an AI representation of that person so that you can actually get phone calls from them and you can have text messages with them after the person's died. And what was so freaky about it was how like real it seemed for all the people. They was freaking them out. And I thought that was really spectacular, especially for
That actually sounds like something that some idiot would actually do, by the way.
right, absolutely.
It
And I'm
does.
like,
Some
this
unscrupulous
is
company
super
would do.
super creepy.
Like the
And
ones that allow you to clone your pets. It's like, no, ew, stop.
talk about creepy. It's not the show, but what you just described, after my father passed, I got a phone call from his number because the phone
Ew.
company had reassigned it to
Oh.
someone else. And my
What?
phone rang, and my dad's number showed up on my screen. It was one of the weirdest sensations I've ever had in my life. So I'm not sure if we could sign up for that I would ever want to sign up for something like
No,
that.
no, no,
hard pass.
no.
Well, and so what the way the episode started, which was great, is the head priest at the church, he started getting these text messages
From the
from another
Monsignor, yeah.
priest who is already dead. And he had forgotten that he had signed some paperwork or whatever and didn't realize what it was for. And so he's getting these texts and he thinks he's being haunted, you know? And so he calls in the team. He's like, "Do I need an exorcism? What's going on?" And the tech guy was like, No, it's from this company." And so they went and go investigate the company. And then they all sign up for it like idiots. And so they're getting phone calls from dead people. And the main priest, what is his name? Pastor
David.
David. The reason he became a priest is because his fiance slash wife, I can't remember if she was his wife or his fiance, she died in a car accident. And that made him want to become a priest. And so he starts getting phone calls from his dead wife. And it's crazy. That part was crazy. All of it was crazy. Oh, and then what's her name? She made the priest like give her phone calls. It was like weird sexy times. It was like, what is going on?
That but the arc story is basically the final showdown between Cheryl and Leland,
Ah, right. Oh, they
which
have their
does
big fight.
oh
Their
yeah
big fight? Yeah.
which does not go well for Cheryl at
It was
all.
going well for
No.
her until the demon interfered.
Well, but freaking Leland's been in league with demons since season one, and she
Yes, but
knows.
I mean, it's not like my point is her plan worked really well. She poisoned him. He was dying of the poison. And then she should have just let him die of the poison instead of coming up and gloating. Like the gloating part is that what got her killed. So, yeah.
That'll do it to you.
Yeah. But the thing is, she knew that Leland was going to try to kill her and she knew he was probably going to succeed. So she left all this evidence to link him to all these
That
murders.
was perfect. That was
It was
great.
so
It was a
good.
perfect, I won't say frame, but because he actually did
He
everything.
did all that stuff. And so she like had all these recordings. She had stuff set up so if she died, that it would time release. And then next thing he knows, he's getting arrested. It was fantastic.
That was brilliant. I
He got
mean,
away with her murder though. Like he tossed her out of a window or something, right?
oh yeah.
Yeah.
And he got away with that murder, but she got him on like 10 other murders. Like it was good. It was good.
And then the follow-up with the daughter from the future coming.
Oh,
Oh
did you actually believe that she was a time traveler?
no. This isn't that show.
This is not that show. That's true, but I was for like the first 10 minutes of her knowing all this information, I was like, how does she know all this information? And then I went, oh, it's the woman that didn't take off the mask that was having sex with the dad. And I was like, that occurred. I know this is confusing. So they were wearing weird like horse masks while they were having sex. And then the dad took off the mask, and then the other woman doesn't take her mask off. So then later on, when you meet this woman where she's like, I'm the daughter from the future, and how would I know all this information? She starts listing all this stuff. But some of the information she listed, the daughter shouldn't have known. So I was like, wait, how would she know this? And I was like, wait, the only person who knows that is the dad. And that's how I knew that it was that. And it was good. They gave you enough breadcrumbs to figure it out without it being too early. You know, and why, you know, and I liked how the mom, what is her name? She didn't fall for it. Even though she had all this evidence, is like, how do I know this? How do I know this? How do I know this? She's like, yeah, I don't believe
Well, she's a natural
Well,
skeptic.
go ahead, Al.
true, but I think one of the big giveaways,
Kristen.
especially when they had the woman and the girl talking to each other right next to each other, is that the girl has brown eyes and the woman has blue ones.
I thought the
And
same thing.
I figured, you know, okay, they're not that sloppy. They wouldn't have done that. Your eyes don't change color. And I figured right there, if there was any possibility that she was from the future, the eyes, you know, are going to tell you, oh, not so much.
Yeah, I thought the same thing. I was like, that's when I was 100% sure that it wasn't her from the future. But then the thing, this goes to my character assassination of the dad part, where I could see him giving all this information over to his what do you call it? It was not fiance, affair. What's another word for it?
Mistress?
Mistress, that's the word. I could see him telling her all this
Booty
information.
call.
Yeah, I could see him telling her all this information, not realizing that she's going to show up at his family and try to pretend to be like from the future. Like I could see him giving all this information and not realizing she was going to do that. But then at the end of the episode, they like run off together, and I was like, wait, does he know what she just did? Like what?
Yeah, they disappeared way too conveniently.
Yeah, I was like, what? So that was a little weird.
I hope they do Andy right by the end of the series. They at some point somebody needs to figure out that he the reason all the bad much of the bad stuff that's happened to him, Leland set up.
Well, yeah,
Maybe
they do tell that it the stuff that he Leland did to him made him super compliant. So anyone can get him to do almost anything.
but the fact that to my I don't remember that they've ever connected the dots that Leland was the one drugging him
They
to and
do.
brainwashed.
I think it is. It in the
Yeah,
message
that's part of it.
that was part of the message that
She
the
sends
grandmother
him the
left.
same, yeah, she sends him the same thumb drive, the same type of thumb drive that she sent to Kristen.
Yeah.
So it's from what we saw of the first few seconds, it's the same thing. So presumably they, you know, it's all the information about what Leland did, only she framed it in terms of this is what Leland did to you.
Right.
So I think that yes, he absolutely knows that. But and they do mention at one point that yes, it makes him very compliant, and it also makes him a danger to his
Good
daughters.
one. Yeah. Which is why he
So
won't
I
stay
think that's
away.
why he wants to be away from them, but it doesn't explain a lot of the really genuinely crappy things he does as far as Kristen is concerned.
Yes. Yeah, that's weird. That's like I don't understand that. But anyway, the next episode, the plot. Okay, so we have no, those are the two plots. We just did the both of the plots. So yeah, but we had the hurricane too, right? In that episode with the woman from the future, I will have to say my favorite scene in the hurricane slash tornado when they're all hiding in the bathroom. I love that bit where Acosta is or David is saying, you know, if I had two lives, I would spend one of them with you. And she was like, if I had two lives, I'd spend both of them with you. And I was like, oh my God, that's so beautiful.
I love you
And
this
then from
much.
the
I
corner
love you
we
this much.
I mean,
and then from
obviously,
the corner we get But what about me?
Oh yeah. He should have stayed pretending to be asleep, man. He shouldn't have been. That was a really beautiful.
No, I thought that was hilarious. I just that little, especially the way he said
Oh, man.
it in that tiny little voice, it was so perfect.
I think it's sad that we had to get basically the toward the end of the show. I mean, their surprise non-renewal to get a full, normal season for a short season network show. Because we got what, 13, 13, 10, and 14?
Yeah, it's a weird
Yeah.
number, but I'm just hoping it ends well.
I have faith that they won't screw this up like some of their other shows.
Okay.
Oh, sorry.
It's ramping up to an end. Like I
Oh,
feel
yeah.
the on ramp to the end. So I'm looking forward to it. Thumbs up so far. All
Oh,
right.
yeah.
Next up, we're gonna talk The Bear, episode 5 and 6. And episode 5 is the one where we find out that the big restaurant that was Carmi's old teacher, I forgot the name of the restaurant, but we get an article that says that her restaurant is closing, she's retiring, and she's closing it down, and everybody's freaking out because they just opened the Bear. So he's like, is that our fate? Like, we're never gonna, like, that restaurant was a huge success. So he's
Well,
like,
huge success in terms critically, but we don't know.
financially,
Restaurant
exactly.
business is tough, man.
Well, but I that's not why she closes it. She's just tired of this,
Yeah,
that's why
she's
she
like tired of
closes.
the life. Yeah. And so it's just like it really put a lot of self-doubt in him for that episode. So he's kind of freaking out. And then they bring in this guy called the computer who is telling them that they're spending way too much money on prep and way too much money on everything. And that they're not going to get their money back, and they only have 18 months to get their money back, or they lose everything. So, yeah. And so Carmi's kind of freaking out about that on top of it. And freaking out, I
It's
usually,
normal.
it is normal. That's true. But normally, I don't mind it. But this season, his freak out's making him a jerk in a way that's not likable, if that makes sense. So especially the way he's treating good Lord, what is her name?
Ayoade Berry.
Yes, I know that's her real name. What's her character's name?
Homegirl. Chef. Her name is Chef.
Sydney.
Very good, Malik. That's nice. I appreciate that. So I really don't like the way it's making him treat Sydney, and I don't like the way it's making him treat Richie, which is weird because I generally did not like Richie, but now I do like Richie.
Well, they've
And
kind of switched places in terms of
Richie is
likability
the
since his move.
Richie is the voice of reason now, which is
Cousin.
bizarre. And Carmi is the crazy one. And so anyway, so this episode dealt with the computer. The guy calls himself the computer, and I love that moment where he's like, can we fire the chef guy, or no, the pastry guy? And they're like, no, we will
I
not
know.
be touching
I love what
buttons.
Shug, I love what Shug tells him. It's like
Yeah, Shug was
I mean,
like,
he
no.
threatens him with bodily injury.
He's like, we are not touching Marcus. Marcus is untouchable. That was really cool. I like that a lot. So yeah, I like that episode. Any other thoughts? You guys speak up.
Well, I think the whole thing with Carmi, I mean, they're deliberately doing it because they are trying to get a situation where Sydney is alienated by him, and they're building up the tension. Is she going to leave to
Oh,
do
we're
her
only
own
in
thing at
episode. Whoa,
another,
whoa, 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 whoa!
but
We're
no, but
ahead.
they've already dropped breadcrumbs,
No,
so
they haven't.
she's not re remember she's not signing that thing that they handed
She
to
hasn't
her, the
signed her contract.
contract.
Remember
She
it?
hasn't signed her contract. That's true.
Which, I mean, she keeps no. And so they're ramping that up clearly, I think, to will she or won't she? What's she gonna do? And I think she, if there wasn't any pushback with Carmi, if there wasn't any kind of tension there, then of course she'd sign it and everything would be fine and they'd be
Well,
going along.
I think even if she was getting along with Carmi, I don't know, I would sign this contract because it's
Well, the
like,
financial thing.
yeah, it's a financial thing. It's owing $800,000 and putting your name on that. I wouldn't want to do that, even if I
Yeah.
loved Carmi. So that's really what I thought her issue was about signing that contract. That's a lot of debt to sign your name to. And I was like, no, I'm not signing that.
Especially when they're supposed to be partners, and he seems to have very little authority. It's like
He has
he's the
little
boss
authority.
man.
Yeah,
And
well, that's the thing. He's not treating her like a partner. If you're
like
going to
an
become
equal.
financially beholden to that for that much money, then it better be because you are an equal partner in this business, and he is not treating her
He is
that
not
way.
treating her that way. And
Never has, by the way.
no, he never
Nope.
has.
No.
He respects her more than anyone else there. That's true.
That ain't saying a lot for him.
But he does not treat her like an equal. And he
I
could
think
still
she needs to show up in the next episode wearing a green dress and calling her banners. And she's gonna be like, I'm team green, let's go.
So Carmi, I think he needs a wake-up call with Sydney because he absolutely 100% needs her. He does.
Oh,
And
yeah.
I think he's taking her for granted in a way that I don't think he realizes that's what he's doing, but he is really doing that.
I don't think Carmi realizes a lot. He is so into his own world of pure panic, and neurosis right now. And I think that's dangerous too, because I mean, you saw what happened to his brother, who finally succumbed to all that stress and that panic. And you know, it's they these kinds of things run in families. So I do worry about where that's leading as far as Carmi is concerned, because he's not addressing all the crucial issues that he has in his life.
And every time everybody tells him that, you know, he's got this restaurant, he's happy, he always says, no, I'm not happy. He always talks about how not happy he is. And I'm like, why are you doing this?
I wonder if we get a very special episode, season four, where Carmi sees a shrink. Lord knows he's one.
Well, he was going to group. He
He
had a
was.
group thing where he was going to group, which I thought was helpful,
That
but
feels like that was ages ago.
I know, but he's not, I don't think he's going to group now, and he really needs it. And then the next episode, which I thought was fantastic, was
Directed by
Napkins.
Ayoata Berry.
Yes, it's called Napkins. And God, I forgot her name again. What's her name?
Tina!
Tina, good Lord.
Chef!
Love her.
He's just calling everyone chef. That doesn't
Yeah,
help me.
everybody calls each other chef.
I know. He was just like, you mean the character of chef? Like, no, it's a title. But I love that we went back into her story before she ever started working at the Beef. We saw what her job was. We saw why she got fired, what her family life was like, what her kids were
She
like.
got laid off, not, I wouldn't, I mean,
What? She was without a job. So
yeah,
let's
they
put it.
downsized.
Downside.
Downsized.
Yeah, and she had been at that company for like 20 years. And so she's like, what do I do? She has no idea what she's going to do. But she's also got her pride. And her pride was getting her in trouble. But I really liked the journey that she went on. And then when she meets Mike at just the right
I
time.
want to sing the praises of Jon Bernthal. I was just talking with somebody about this yesterday. That dude, I swear, I've seen him play bad guys, good guys, anti-heroes. He's the husband in Origin, which
Well,
if
he
you
was
haven't
great in
seen,
Origins.
he was great in that. And as soon as, spoiler alert, the movie's been out for a while, but when he succumbs, I Googled to find out, oh man, because in real life, what he had wouldn't have been sudden. But that was, I really liked the two of them together. But that dude is amazing. And the relation, I mean, wow. Just every
Yeah.
time I see him in something, he just nails it.
And this
Just
really
nails it. And
just
the simple act of kindness he shows to this woman who's having a hard day, just
Right.
such a pleasant reminder that treat people nicely, you never know what kind of day they're having. And it changed her life, literally. I mean,
Yeah.
all the people who are bagging on this season, I don't think they understand this season is more about character than plot.
Right.
And for me, that works because most shows are very plotty, which isn't necessarily a bad thing, but this is a special show. It's a different kind of show. And the fact that we're allowed to take these deep dives into the characters, because story time, this season doesn't cover a lot of time,
Right.
but character-wise, we go deep into some of these characters.
And I really like this one as opposed to some of the other ones we're going to talk about. There's a couple I did not like as much, but because I'm over the Fact Brothers, by the way. I hate them.
Oh, please,
What's
yes,
up with
God.
that?
Spending way too much time with
I
them.
don't
It's
enjoy,
just going to go away.
I think John Cena is a much better actor than people give him credit for, but I'm just like, oh, you can be as annoying as he can be.
Yes, exactly. Because that's in this ep in the episode before with
Also,
Katrina
even
Kai.
with a show that has done plenty of cameos, I mean, we've seen a lot. For some reason, I could not integrate him into the show. When he came
Yeah.
on, all I could see was John Cena.
It
That's
was very
all
weird.
I could see.
It was
It was
very
just
weird.
John
He's not
Cena doing
exactly
a
a
cameo.
chameleon. No.
Not really, no.
No. Yeah, I did not like that, and
He's
I'm
no Daniel Day-Lewis, that's for sure.
not. And it's like the whole haunting thing, that if I never hear that again, I will be too happy. All of
Yeah.
that, I'm over it. I don't need any more of it. Just make that go away. But the Tina storyline was perfect.
By the
That was
way, that was
great.
her real life husband playing her husband on the show. I've seen
Oh, I
it.
like that
Found
element.
it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah,
I like that a lot.
but I adore Liza Colon, and yeah, I really like, especially the way they built the relationship between her and Sydney over the 3 seasons.
Yes.
Because initially they're like rare, and then they become,
Very close.
if not friends, allies.
There, yeah, I
Yes.
like their relationship a lot, and I really like the Napkins episode just because you just get to see the depth of her character in a way that I found really fascinating. So far, that's one of the best ones this season for me.
I agree. I
Absolutely.
agree.
Absolutely.
All right, we got one more show to talk about. Next up, we're gonna talk the bear. Oh, we just talked the bear. Good Lord. Next up, we're gonna talk the Umbrella Academy. It premiered, this is season four, and it's the last season. It's only six episodes, which is not a lot of episodes to wrap up a whole season or series about time travel and alternate dimensions and people with superpowers and people with daddy issues and aliens. There's literal aliens in this show, and just like there's just a lot. And where we left off last season is nobody had their they were in a different timeline, all their powers are wiped out, and then we do a 5-year time jump. So we catch
6 year.
oh, sorry,
Six.
yes, 6-year time jump, and we basically catch up with where everybody is now that they have no powers, what their lives look like, and how boring basically their lives are, except perhaps for Five, because he's working for the CIA and he just can't help himself being a spy. Like that's just his thing. So what did you guys think? Malik, you haven't talked in a couple of these.
I haven't, and I will have to say my enthusiasm, which and optimism that I've displayed on the previous shows that we have discussed, ran out on Umbrella Academy.
Oh.
I was not delighted by this first episode. I get the idea that we are supposed to reestablish what is normal and how that contrasts with who they've been and where they've been. But it was actually kind of boring to me. It was also, just from a tone perspective. I know the show has never been a super serious show, but it just seemed more campy than I recall it having been before in this first
The
episode.
show's, I will have to say, the show is generally pretty campy. So
Yeah.
that's. I guess for me, my campometer was feeling a little, was getting a hit a little more in this first episode than I have in the past. So I was rather uninterested in where it goes beyond. The most interesting storyline is how, and I know none of the names, how the sister is going to be reintegrated into the unit.
Allison.
That's yes, Allison. That's kind of the most interesting storyline that was presented in the first episode, and somewhat interesting because she's taken steps that alienates her from everyone.
Wait,
And
are you talking about Allison or Victor?
Allison, she's the one.
She's
She was sitting
yeah,
outside of the
they
birthday party, and she didn't want to go in.
Oh, right. Yeah. Because she's the reason why they don't have powers.
Correct. So to me, that's a slightly interesting thing that I'm kind of interested in where that goes. But otherwise, I was rather uninterested in what was happening in this first
I
episode.
mean, Victor gets kidnapped and then they have.
But look how it happens. Bitch, it's like, hey, I need you to come with me. No, I don't want to. I don't want to hurt you. I'd like to see you try. Psst. Like, it's like that scene was so anticlimactic. If you're gonna say, I'd like to see you try, it better be difficult. It was easy.
I think, when he said that, I think that it was one of those situations where Victor forgot that he doesn't have
Doesn't
any
have any
powers.
powers. Yeah.
It's like, I'd like to see you try. Sure, why not? It's not like you can do anything. You're 4 feet tall and have no power.
Victor, yes, Victor was talking like someone who had never been punched in the mouth before. Yes.
So I don't know. I kind of agree in that. I'm really tired of having like every single season start with all of the siblings battling each other and hating each other.
Yeah, this one they were coming together. They had a nice little children's birthday party.
Well, they did, but that was like by the time you get to that, like the episode is already 3/4 of the way through. And even then, they're together because they feel like they have an obligation to do so. They've been staying away from each other for the last 6 years and really don't like getting together at all. And they've got their own lives and they want to keep it that way. And I'm so tired of that. And every time they have to get together to do anything, they fight each other. And it takes a while before they actually start operating as a group and showing affection to each other. And by the end of the episode, we'd fortunately, thankfully, gotten past that and reached that point where they were working together, even if it was by force to find Victor. They were together again as a group, and that's what I like is when they're actually together,
Right.
and they're working as a unit, and they're showing, sibling affection for each other.
And then it ends on the cliffhanger of them getting their powers back. Like that's the
Yes,
where
yes, they managed to find the marigold,
well, but is that a cliffhanger? Because none of them want their powers back except
Yes,
for
but they
one.
all yeah, but they all got spiked. He spiked their drinks. So they all got their powers back.
Oh, by the end of
did I
episode
miss?
one. Yeah.
Yeah. Cause
Well,
he's
I
like
must have
he
missed.
the well, they insinuated. So the guy,
You mean when he went away?
when he went away, he put it in the sake. He's like, oh, let's all drink this sake one last night. So he put it in their sake.
Oh, I
Yeah,
missed
we
that.
see him. We
Okay.
well, the thing is, we don't see that until episode two. In episode
They
one,
infer it. They
they
infer it.
infer, well, they infer it because he's encouraging everybody to take a sip. We only actually see him drink the
The
marigold
barrel
down.
gold, right?
But then in
Yeah.
episode
But if you see
two,
the bottle's almost empty when he does it. So you know
yeah.
he used it.
And then in episode two, they explicitly show how he put the marigold in everybody's drink and spiked
Yeah.
it.
Okay, I
And
get what you're
that's
saying. I think they left breadcrumbs. I don't think that was a cliffhanger, but
Well,
go ahead, go ahead.
I assumed that they drank it. Like when I
Okay.
watched it, I was like, oh, they all drank it. I was like, now nah, I gotta watch episode two. So
Okay.
I immediately hit two. And the second what I thought was also interesting, because we're now gonna go on to two, is that everyone's powers don't come back exactly how they had them. So people are now like, it's like their power, but with a little extra twist. Which I think is kind of interesting. So everybody's a little more powerful because I guess they got spiked with more marigold than they originally had. So what's her name? Lila, her ability is to mimic people, but then she has her own power too. She has like the laser eyes
The
thing.
laser eyes.
So she can still mimic everybody's powers, plus she has laser eyes. And then Diego's way more powerful than he was before.
Oh,
Like
way more.
he
Yeah.
still can do the knives thing, but now he can attract any metal to him like Magneto and then shoot it back out. I was like, whoa, when can he do that? Like, that was pretty cool. So everyone's powers are like that power plus an extra level. So that is interesting. So I'm like, and then second episode, they go on a road trip because they're like, oh my God, we got our powers back. What does this mean? We need to go check. And so they go on this big long road trip together for 7 hours.
Well, they're also trying to find a kidnapped girl, too.
Yes. Oh, it was so great. Ben was like, let's go, let's kill them all. And they like go, it's a rescue mission. And he goes, oh, right.
Oh.
Let's not kill them all. So that was really fun. And I enjoyed their interactions in the car or the van, like just them talking and chatting and arguing and fighting
Oh
and
God, just being trapped inside that van with Baby Shark playing over and over. That is the definition of hell,
I
right
didn't know
there.
that that song had multiple verses.
I didn't,
So
first of all, I never, this is true. This is li because I don't have kids. This is literal. I've heard of Baby Shark for ages. This is the first time I actually
what?
heard it.
Well,
Yes.
I've heard it, but I've only heard the Baby Shark part. I didn't know there were other mothers and dads and grandparents, and I didn't know there was extra. So we actually got to hear like the whole song.
Oh,
And
and now I know why people have claimed
hate
that they
that
would murder
song.
someone if they have to listen to it for
Yeah,
any
it was,
length of time.
but because at first I was like, are they gonna make us listen to this song for like this whole episode? Like, what is? And then they explain it. And I was like, and it was like 1 hour later, and then it was like 7 hours later, and I was like, oh my God. So that was pretty fun. And then when they get to that town, and it's like Christmas, North Pole town, like it was
Oh,
such
it was weird.
weird.
Yes.
It was such a weird, like Santa Claus town. I was like, what is going on? Why is everybody being all weird? And then when you find out why everybody, you're like, oh, this is a weird town. Like, okay, this makes sense. And then them having to fight their way out of it and have to fight Santa Claus. All of that was fun. Like, I thoroughly enjoyed that. And that's how the episode pretty much ends on them fighting their way out of that town, and then Five figuring out that every time he uses his teleportation, he always ends up in the same place with this train that takes him to different timelines. And so he's trying to like not figure out the thing, or he just figures out that he can do it. But he's like, oh, that's a whole extra thing I'm not gonna worry about. So
Yeah, well, he doesn't he knows that the subway takes him to different timelines.
right.
And so I guess the idea is going to be they're going to try to find the original timeline, the one that they, started in before.
But that one has apocalypse. You don't want to go to the original one.
It may be to go to that timeline before the apocalypse happens, because that seems to be what they keep talking about is the original
Yeah,
timeline.
I
And
don't know.
certainly it's the one that the keepers, isn't that what they call
Yeah, the
themselves? The
keepers,
keepers
Gene and
are
Jean.
obsessed with,
Yeah,
yes,
Gene and
Gene
Jean.
and Jean. Yeah.
Yeah. All of
So
that's,
that.
it's like, it's, I'm loving it just because there's so much chaos. Especially by the time you get to the second episode, and then you get introduced to Jennifer, and you're like, what's Jennifer got to do with any of this? Why is what? And she was in a squid. What's happening? Wait, do we know that yet? Maybe not.
Yes, that was in season that was in episode two.
Okay, cool. And so all of that is just crazy, and I love it. I love how insane the episodes are, and that you don't understand what's going on, and you're like, what does this mean? And yeah, it totally picks up from first episode, Malik. So watch the
Yeah.
second
Yeah, no, I'm enjoying it. I think this is a big improvement from the last season. And I like the fact that they've addressed what went on with Allison, but they're making it okay. They're she's
episode.
coming back to what she was before they really screwed with her character.
Right. And I like her powers now. Her powers, it used to be she had to like build it up. She's like, I heard a rumor, and then she'd have to, it's like a whole thing. Now she just goes whoop, just like grabs
Yep.
your mind and then does her thing. And I was like, ooh, that's way better. So all everybody's powers have, like I said, have gotten to bump up and in interesting ways. I'm not sure about, wait, I don't know if I want to say that yet. Never mind. I'll, in case I'm off of my timing, because I of course couldn't stop watching, and I've watched the first four, so I don't want to give any spoilers.
How
All
dare you?
right. I'm being chill, not saying anything. So I'm gonna say thumbs up. Allison.
Me too. For so far, so good.
All right. Malik, watch the second episode. I know you're kind of sideways after just the first one.
I'm down on the first one. Maybe the
Oh.
second episode can. Oh, look, you got my little thing, my icon.
All right. So we're going to wrap this up. If you guys do have any questions or comments, you leave them at tvcampfire@gmail.com. Follow us on Twitter and on Facebook. You listen to us on sci-fi.radio, 6 Degrees of Geeks, iTunes, and YouTube. And we'll talk to you guys next time. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye.